Thursday, a large number of folks came from the Cathedral Church to witness the ordination of the newest class of candidates for the Sacred Order of Deacons, nine in all. I was reminded a week or so ago that October 1st marked the anniversary of my ordination to the Sacred Order. I went back and looked at my certificate of ordination, and sadly, marked 5 years for me. I was once told during an inquirer's class here at Grace that we're baptized into the family of Christians based on the ransom paid for by Jesus. I was baptized at 8 years of age. Our children, before they were able to string together subjects and verbs in a sentence. I made my choice. My wife and I made the decision for our children. And though we cannot pay the price of our own salvation, we are expected to grow into that family, to become more worthy to be there. In the beginning of my ministry as a deacon, I felt somewhat unworthy to be a deacon. I had to resist the feeling that I was a poseur, that I wasn't really supposed to be there. For a time, I've come to believe, be comforted, that God wanted me to be a deacon, and this church wanted me to become a deacon. As any clergy member should be able to tell you, it's a long way from the nave to the chancel. We all came from the pews. And if you were looking forward as a member of the clergy to adoration, such as signing your latest book at the local book fair, well, children, you chose the wrong journey. Wrong one for you. It's fitting and proper that today, a portion of the lesson is actually Jesus talking not to the multitudes, but to the apostles. And he made his lessons cautionary, particularly to all of those who were called into leadership. Today's lesson follows a series of sayings by Jesus Christ about leadership, and in short, the sayings emphasize that forming a healthy relationship among believers is a way to please God. Essentially, Jesus tells us not to scandalize those people around us in our community. He tells us we are to stress forgiveness and to back off, to be less critical, and let people be who they are. Jesus tells us that we are forgiven our sins, and so we are to be generous in forgiving the sins of others. Sins real, sins perceived. And a part of today's lesson is about the difference between great achievement and duty. In response to Jesus giving some advice about how to better get along with your fellow Christians, the apostles responded by saying, increase our faith. Today's lesson is found only in Luke and not the other Gospels. Jesus was telling his disciples that just because you are followers does not mean that you have accomplished anything great. Jesus explains to his apostles that faith the size of a mustard seed is all that is required, and not be too easy on yourself. If you do merely what is asked of you, then you have been a faithful follower. But merely doing that does not mean you have accomplished anything great or wonderful. It just doesn't want to say so. Instead of shining our brass and basking in the warm glow of our accomplishments, our achievements, we should be telling ourselves, and Jesus is telling us this, that we are unprofitable servants who have only done their duty. In describing the primary role of the deacon in our church, we're told that the diaconate is a servant ministry. Our vows as deacons include a statement by Jesus that said, whoever would be great must be a servant of all. We are reminded during our Lenten readings each year that Jesus knelt before each of his disciples and washed their feet. This event was one of the last acts that Jesus did. He performed the lowly task of washing their feet, an act of service. brings us to the parable of the mustard seed. Luke only alludes to the mustard seed story. Matthew tells us more. Mustards, or crucifers, as we botanists like to call them, have flowers that have four petals in the form of cross, a crux. And I-M-B-R means to bear, so crucifer means to bear a cross. One of the characteristics of this family of plants is that they have tiny seeds. And the idea that Jesus is saying is from this little tiny seed, a plant will be produced, or can be produced, that becomes tree-sized, that's large enough to have birds' nests in the branches. Literally, a nest of robins in their hair. Jesus uses this agrarian model to teach his followers that using the faith that you have, even if you think it is very little, and using the resources that you have, even if you think they are very little, that you have great power as a Christian. You can accomplish great things that fulfill or even exceed your responsibilities as a Christian. With that kind of faith, Jesus tells us that you can move mountains. You can cause these mulberry trees, if you told them, to uproot themselves and to plant themselves out of the ocean, and they will still grow there instead of on dry land. But Jesus is not telling us to move mountains or to uproot mulberries. He's telling us to trust our faith and to trust in Him. One of my favorite Alabama authors is Fanny Flagg. I don't read Fanny Flagg because of her overwhelming literary skills, though she has quite a bit. What I read her for is the fact that she is such a wonderful storyteller. And since I'm a more righteous reader, usually I would prefer to read the book than to see it on screen somewhere. A scene from a favorite book and a favorite movie, Fried Green Tomatoes, came to mind as I was reading the gospel for this week. The scene coming to mind involves a character by the name of Izzy Threadgood. She's talking to the son of her best friend, Ruth Bennett. Ruth lies in the bed dying. The son, whom they call Stump, that's what they call him, he had part of his arm cut off, is complaining about not being able to hit a baseball very well. But inwardly, what he's complaining about and what he is doing is he's mourning the impending loss of his mother. Izzy looks out the window watching boys play baseball and tells Stump, "I guess you already know that there are angels masquerading as people walking around this planet, and your mom was the brightest one of those. I love that imagery and do not know whether there are angels actually walking around down here with us. I'd like to think so. What I do know is that there are people that have faith the size of a mustard seed walking down here amongst us, who perhaps unknowingly help us with our struggle to do the right thing. They inspire others in their community. Those folks give me hope and help me along with my journey. They help me to grow that mustard seed size faith that I have into something more substantial." In EFM class, we learned a Latin phrase that always makes you sound smarter if you use a little Latin. Lex orandi, lex credendi, which means the words we pray are the words that we believe. Another way of looking at that is prayer is the key to increasing our faith. And the precept of Jesus is that faith calls us to action. Jesus teaches us to carry our belief beyond our words into action. Love God, love your neighbor. Again, Jesus tells us, when you have done all that you have been asked to do, we are to say to ourselves, we are worthless servants. We have done only what we ought to have done. His words. It would be easy to simply think of how harsh those statements are and how demeaning and depressing those statements might make you feel. But Jesus is making a point here. The underlying message of Jesus is a completely, totally different reality. The message about faith is a statement about personal empowerment. The faith you have is absolutely enough. Like the mustard seed needs nurturing, nurture your faith with prayer,